Welcome to Naomi's Table, a Bible-based program just for women, where seasoned Naomis nurture young roots with real scriptural food for the Spirit, encouraging and equipping your walk in biblical womanhood. Grab a Bible, pull up a chair, and invite your friends. There's plenty of room at Naomi's Table.
Welcome to Naomi's Table, everyone. I'm Amy Spreeman, along with my co-hostess, Nancy LeMay. Hey, Nancy.
Hey.
Hey, today we're talking a little bit about the choices we as women need to make when we have families, especially young families. Do we work? Do we stay at home? You know, these are our real struggles that Christian women have. We're going to find out if God has anything to say about it, and we may be able to glean some helpful tips for making your choice happen, and we're going to go to the Bible. You're going to hear a lot of scripture verses being read, because that's what we do here at Naomi's Table. We leave our opinions at the door, and we go to God's Word and see what He has to say.
And speaking of going to God's Word, we have our daily Bible study here, too. We are in the book of Romans, and our teacher, Beth Seifert, is going to be here very shortly with today's lesson, and then Amy and I will discuss what she shares with us to see what are the big lessons we can take from that.
You know, what a privilege it is, Nancy, to be able to have a real Bible study from God's Word on the radio. I don't know of too many people who do that, but we're so blessed to be able to do that, and I know a lot of you ladies are taking these studies. You're doing them individually. You're gathering groups of women around your own table, and you're doing them. And I just love this. We're hearing from so many of you. So thank you for doing that. If you'd like to check them out, you don't know what we're talking about, go to naomistable.com, and we've got a little menu tab called Daily Bible Studies, and we've got quite an archive of them built up. We've got Old Testament, New Testament. Our goal is to be able to do the whole Bible in a Bible study system, so that you can study the Bible with our helpful tools anytime you like. We really want to equip you with the Word. It's so, so important. All right, Nancy, so today we're talking about choices. Let's talk about let's get this out of the way, what the world has to say about the choices we make.
Well, the reason why I was intrigued by this topic is there was an article that popped up on EagleRising.com. And it's entitled, Obama Attacks Stay-at-Home Moms. Hmm. That's not a choice we want Americans to make. And apparently what it was is he was campaigning in Rhode Island. And all of a sudden, he started talking about the choice that some women have to make between raising a family and earning to their full potential in their careers. Hmm. And this is what he said. Sometimes someone, usually mom, leaves the workplace to stay home with the kids, which then leaves her earning a lower wage for the rest of her life as a result. And that's not a choice we want Americans to make. And you notice he had to backtrack on it quickly, shortly thereafter, when he implied that Michelle Obama didn't work. And he said, I mean, I should point out, she is working really hard now as First Lady and doesn't get paid. But that's a whole other thing.
Yeah. Well, why do you suppose he said that that's not a choice we want Americans to have to make?
I think that he is looking at it that children need to be raised by the government, and that a woman's true fulfillment comes in a career and in a profession, and that it just fits into the whole mentality why he proposed having preschool all the way down to age 2 or 3 for all children mandated across the country. Their idea is that they want control of the children to be able to program them and feed their minds with the message that they want them to believe. And stay-at-home moms get in the way of that because they oftentimes are educating their children, even if they don't homeschool them. The mothers are the primary contact for the child, and therefore they end up maybe contradicting the messages that the government wants them to believe.
And if you don't think that this is actually going on, it is. A couple years ago, there was that CNN reporter. Her video went viral. She was doing a report about schools, and she said, no, the government, the schools own children. The parents do not own their children, which is, of course, preposterous. It's absurd. And, Nancy, we know that how God ordained it, but it's changing. Things are changing. And I point to the feminism movement along with socialism that really kind of crept into our nation, you know, in the late 1950s, early 60s, when the idea was planted that women really should not be happy and satisfied in the roles of staying at home. We shouldn't be satisfied with that. We need a career. That should be our identity.
And a lot of that stems from the National Organization of Women, the feminist movement. And they do not believe that a woman of any intelligence, any fortitude, any resolve should have a desire to just be a homemaker. There's like a deep disdain for women who purposely choose to stay at home and care for their families.
Now, before you were converted by Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to be his child, was that your organization, National Organization of Women?
NOW. I was a card-carrying member, absolutely, and also a supporter of Planned Parenthood, sadly. And, you know, it's interesting because when I was younger, I always did want to be a stay-at-home mom, just like my mom was. But I ended up, when I willfully chose to believe the lies rather than the truth about God, I actually got that depraved mind, if you will. And I went wholeheartedly into the career world and sold myself out for it and just really did everything I could to get ahead. And I achieved great things. I was the number two, I think, marketing rep in the entire country for Hartford Insurance. I was number one in the Chicago Regional, which was the largest regional in the country for them, and got many awards and many accolades. Mike and I got a trip to Hawaii as a result. But, you know, after I achieved all those things, I felt kind of empty afterwards, and I'm like, okay, I'm done with this. Can I leave now? But I couldn't. I couldn't, because by that point, our income required that me keep working in that job.
Yeah. You know, Nancy, a similar story to yours, and I've shared this before, too. I got my identity from my career, absolutely. Did television news reporting and then anchoring, was the 6 and 10 anchor, did all this and that. Ended up in Minneapolis, the 14th market as a producer, so I had Mary Tyler Moore's job, right? I didn't throw my hat up, though. But anyway, I thought I had the world by the tail. I went into public relations after that, and suddenly I found myself downsized in the early 90s. And I knew that this was probably God. You know, I wasn't a Christian, sort of a Christian, I thought, but I really was a false convert at that time. But I sensed that this was the time then that my husband and I should start talking about having children. And I remember thinking, I don't want my children to go to daycare. I want my kids, I want to raise my kids myself. I think that I would miss out. Now, I was totally self-centered. This was for me, right? Not them. I really wanted to be there with cuddling my babies. So I ended up creating an entrepreneurial job. I ended up creating my own business, a little freelance writing business, Freeman Communications, and set to work and established it right before the birth of our first child. And that really helped me stay at home. A lot of women feel like cost, expenses would keep them from making that choice. Let's talk about that for a minute, because I know the Bible doesn't really prohibit women from working outside the home. We know that that's not true. Let's start there and talk about what the Bible does say about women, you know, working. If that's the choice, what does the Bible say about that?
Well, in Proverbs 31, we talk about the Proverbs 31 woman all the time, and it clearly says in there that, yes, she does work very hard in the home, but she also goes out and buys a field and plants a vineyard in it. She makes all sorts of linen garments that she sells, and it says she makes sashes for the merchants that are on the merchant ships. So she obviously has a business outside the home.
Right.
In addition to working hard to take care of all of her household, her servants, her children, and her husband inside the home as well.
Right. So the Bible doesn't really forbid a woman from working outside the home, but God does teach that what a woman's priorities are to be. Now, if you can provide a loving, caring environment for your children and husband, and you need to work outside the home, those principles, there is freedom in Christ. Women who work outside the home should never condemn women who work outside the home, and neither should women who focus on the stewardship of the home be treated condescendingly. So let's go to that area of discussion, Nancy, because I think there are a lot of women who want to stay at home, but who feel like they really can't because it's cost prohibitive.
Interestingly, if you actually break down all of your finances and you think about how much money you are spending to work, yes, you are spending money to work, many times it far outweighs your income. And let me explain a little bit. Okay, so you have a job. You have to drive to get to that job. That's gasoline money.
Yeah.
You have clothes that maybe you need to buy for that job. So you have that expense. While you were at the job, maybe you are eating out lunch and you are maybe having to have other expenses like that. When you pick up your kids, which have been in daycare, which is an expense,
that's
if they're
huge.
Smaller, yeah. You oftentimes don't have time to go home then and cook a dinner, so you're going through the drive-thru or you're going somewhere to get fast food to eat out a lot. That's expensive. So when you add all that up, plus when you look at the additional money in taxes that you are paying because your and your husband's income is higher than what it would be if you did not work, then many times you are actually paying to have that job. So if you could, and this does take discipline, and I am not saying it's easy, not by any means, but let's say that whoever is the lower wage earner, whether it's the mother or the father, let's say that you leave that job to stay home with the younger kids. You no longer have the gas to go to work every day and back.
Right.
Many times, maybe you're paying for parking too. You no longer have the expense of the kids in daycare. You no longer have the expense of the clothes that you had to get to work. And you're no longer having the expense of your lunches out every day. You have the time to go to the grocery store now and to get actual healthy food that you can bring home and make for dinner so that you are not having that expense of stopping for pizza or fast food or something like that every night. And if the other spouse, too, who is still working, can take their lunch with them rather than having that expense of buying out lunches all the time, you'll notice that with the tax burden lowered from the lower amount of income and all those other expenses taken out, you could maybe end up even way ahead financially, plus less stress, you're eating healthier, your children are being educated at home. And we're not even talking if you're homeschooling, and we're just talking about, being that education to them just through the daily living.
Yeah, the biggest benefit of all of staying home, of course, is nurturing and nourishing your children spiritually and physically and in all the different ways that having mom right there means for those precious, precious children of God. So we want to make sure that if you're thinking about that, but you're just struggling with some ideas, Nancy, you've shared some. Let's share a couple more because I think it's important to get these discussions rolling. We want to help you. It might mean perhaps shopping at different places. Maybe you've got an Aldi or one of those discount grocery store chains around. You could save so much money just on the grocery bill going there. Maybe you don't buy a new car every 4 years. Maybe you maintain the one you have. Sometimes that can just be an incredible blessing. Pay that thing off. Don't have those car loans. What about what women can do specifically? I know a lot of moms who go on these very extravagant mom's nights out. You know, I deserve it because I'm stressed. You know, maybe you do. Maybe you are stressed. But if you can give up those mom's nights out or those direct sales parties, you know, I won't even name them. But you know the ones where you go to the party and you think, oh, I'm not going to buy anything. I'll just maybe sample some food or whatever. And you come home with, you know, $40, $60, $100 worth of merchandise. Yeah, that's not really doing you any good. You know, another thing, date nights, instead of going to an expensive dinner with your husband, maybe go out for a cup of coffee or tea or something. Have those discussions.
Or if you have a babysitter available, then maybe splurge on a babysitter once every couple of weeks and then just maybe have a nice little date night at home where maybe you rent a movie, pop some popcorn, or even just talk with each other. Have like a topic that you're thinking about all week long leading up to it so that when you get together, you can discuss that.
Yeah. And you know, when you're working, you can afford things maybe that you couldn't afford if you were a stay-at-home mom. So let's talk about some of those things that women often think they have to have. Manicures, pedicures, you know, that...
Starbucks,
whatever it is, you know, where you're doing a $3 latte every day. That really adds up as well. Vacations.
Wow, $3? Is that all you pay for it at Starbucks?
It's been a while, I guess.
I think it's like $5 now.
Okay, Nancy. But no, you know, can you make them at home? You probably could. Yeah. You know, these elaborate vacations that we think we have to have, you might want to put those on hold while the kids are really small so that you can make those sacrifices if you need to take care of them.
Maybe try camping. You know, I know of so many children who just have such fond memories of all of the weekends when they were little that they went camping. Yeah. And it's something that will create such treasured memories in them, probably more so than if you spent a bunch of bucks to go to Disney World.
And if you have no money at all, camp in your backyard. That would be a hoot, I think, and you'd have plumbing, so there you go. What about living on a budget? That's something that I think all moms who really make that switch from corporate to stay at home really have to get used to a little bit more. Maybe you're not good at it. Maybe your husband is. Whoever's better at that, by the way, can be the leader. It's okay. So I know in your house, Nancy, you probably do a little bit more accounting than Mike does.
No, actually, he does.
Okay.
He does more, absolutely. But, you know, you might want to, especially if you have some credit card debt that just makes you feel stuck in the lifestyle you're in, go to like that Dave Ramsey course. Is it Financial Peace?
Oh, yeah. You can just download those tapes, you know, off of tapes. Listen, I'm dating myself here. You can download audio MP3s right from his site and learn how to do that debt snowball where you pay off certain bills first. That helped my husband and I
a lot. Went through that, didn't you?
Oh, we did. And we got, as they say, gazelle crazy. And within 4 months, we were debt-free except for our house. And that's our goal. We want to pay that off. But here's another tip you can do. And see, the expensive thing seems at our house always to be around food. And so we have these very creative things that we do. If we run out of grocery money, we have the envelope system, right? So every 15th of the month, I get my allotted cash for the groceries for the family, but you know, and things come up. I understand that, but that has to last me till the next 15th. If I run out, and oftentimes I do, I play a little game with what can we eat from the freezer to make to make ends meet. What can we do with the pantry? Let's get really creative. And the kids have helped me over the years. It's a hoot because there's always something in the freezer that you really don't want to make for dinner that night because it's been there for a little bit. But you know what? Get that out, make it up. It'll be fine.
You know, you could shop instead of shopping at Yonkers or Macy's or something like that. You could go shop at St. Vincent de Paul or the DePere Christian Outreach or whatever would be the secondhand store in your area. Many times you could find clothing there that is in great condition that
especially
is
for kids.
Very cheap. Yeah. Oh, 'cause they're going to outgrow it so fast or wear through it so fast.
Yeah.
You know, that's something you can do. Another thing is if you are crafty and so talented, you could learn to sew. and sew their clothes.
I tried that, Nancy. I was so bad at sewing. My mom was so gifted, and she was a seamstress anyway. So they got a lot of grandma clothes, but they also got a lot of garage sale clothes. And I'm telling you, that really helped me stay home, knowing that I didn't have to, you know, go to the store every time they needed the next size up.
Oh, that's a good idea. You can pick stuff up for a buck there. That would be awesome.
We also had garage sales. And I remember, you know, if you get crazy on selling stuff that you don't use anymore, you could actually make money. And that's a way to keep the budget going.
Yeah. You know, there are so many different ways that you could do it if you realize, and this depends on trust in God, if you realize that you don't need nearly as much as you think you do.
Yeah.
You don't need the high quality of stuff that you think you need. All of the knickknacks, all of the pillows for your couch, new window coverings.
Yeah, you don't need that.
You know, all of that stuff, new throw rugs, whatever it is, you don't really need all of that stuff. And I love the verses that talk about how we need to learn to let go of everything in this world that is holding us back.
Yeah.
And fix our eyes heavenward, because everything here is temporary anyway. And what I've taken to doing, and this sounds goofy, I know, but what I'm taken to doing is before I go to the store, and I love going to Yonkers when I've got coupons especially, or good yellow dot clearance stuff. And what I do is before I walk in that store, I say, okay, what do I need if Jesus returns tomorrow?
Wow. Well, and not very much, do you?
No. And that's just exactly it. A lot of times it's like, oh, you know what? I really don't want to fight that parking in the parking lot. And I really don't need to go. So when you look at it in terms of look at the world around you, Jesus is going to be coming back soon.
Yeah. You know, life is so short. And I'll tell you, you know, I know you like to go to the clothing places. Before before my eyes were open to the eternity and reality of Christ, my favorite places to go were the home stores. So if there was a Crate and Barrel or a Williams-Sonoma or one of those Pottery Barn, I mean, I could get lost in there. And really what it caused was dissatisfaction with what I already had. It would cause, covetousness. Mm. So I would be coveting all of these things, thinking, I have to have this, you know, this copper pan set from whatever it was. I really like copper. But, you know, anything like that, or I don't have this year's style, and this year the colors are taupe and the certain shade of brown, and my old sage green stuff from 2 years ago, that just, you know. So I'd get very, very sad because I knew that, I knew it was carnal. I knew that all of this stuff, it all burns.
Yeah.
It all will be burned in the refiner's fire. And then what I did was I came home and I took a look around my home. I had everything I ever needed in a home. I had a place to sit. I had a place to eat. You know, the kids had, you know, toys galore. But it does all burn, and it's all so temporary. And to think of all the junk that I have that at one point I thought I had to have brand new, it's very, very sad to see these temporal things take over our lives as clutter. It's and it certainly does not please God.
No, it does not. You know, one thing I would love to get started, or if someone else out there has a passion for it and the time to get it started, I would love to see clothing exchanges or stuff exchanges within the church. So in other words, if let's say someone's getting married, and they talk about what they need, and everybody in the church gets together and sees what they have in their house that they can give to the couple, or someone, a college student that's going out on their own. Likewise, you know, rather than registering for things, you know, it would be great if we could take care of our needs within the church. Clothing exchanges, any clothes that you don't want anymore or that don't fit you or something else, bring them someplace to the church, and then other people bring theirs to the church, and you can just kind of go through it and have a clothing swap.
That's a wonderful idea. You know, there's so many great ideas, and I love the moms groups out there that help other moms make that shift if they want from not working to staying home with those precious little ones. And by the way, we have those discussions all the time on our Google Plus group, ladies. We've got quite a few moms who've raised their kids and their kids are almost out of the house or all are out, or some who are in that process now who just have all sorts of tips. Beth Seifert, for instance, has two little boys. She homeschools them. Tons of resources that come from her. And I just really encourage you, ladies, check out our Google Plus group. You can find out how to do that, by the way, on our website. There's a little button to find out more. In fact, that's part of our homepage. When you just go to naomistable.com, you go right there to that homepage. Just keep reading, and you'll find out how to join.
One last thing. I kind of glossed over it earlier, but if you do have the ability to homeschool your children, consider what is being put into their heads right now in public schools. It is not good. It is not healthy. It is a secular humanist message. And secular humanism is indeed a religion. It's now been determined by a court to be a religion.
It's a religion of Antichrist, I'm telling you. Yeah.
And all of these messages, you're an accident. You were formed when slime came together.
You're a biological machine. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're no better than a tree or a fish or anything else. And they should have even greater rights than you do. It's all sin. It's all horrible, horrible, dehumanizing messages, and messages that rather than pumping kids up with a false sense of self-esteem, they need to hear the message that God created them for a purpose. He intentionally knit together their DNA, and their DNA is unique. It has never been seen before. It will never be seen since. And God is the one who put them together. They need to get that message. So if you do have the ability to homeschool them, there are affordable ways to do that. You can look at, like, for instance, Freedom Project
Education. Let me give that website out. I was just going to do that too, Nancy. It's so important. This goes all over the world. So if you're sitting in Colorado or Texas or wherever you are and you're not in Wisconsin, that's okay. This website goes all over the world. It's a wonderful resource site. It's completely Common Core free. So if you want to avoid Common Core, go here. It's called Freedom Project Education. You could either Google that or you can go to www.FPE, that stands for Freedom Project Education, USA.org. So FPEUSA.org. And we just highly recommend it. We know the people who run it very personally, and they are excellent educators. And your student will know and be prepared for college from little to old. So don't you worry about that. It's solid, and these are run by Christian people.
And you only pay for the courses you need.
Yeah.
So let's say that you could teach your 7-year-old everything except you're kind of shaky on math. You could get the math course from them for that age range. You could do individual courses like that. You could get the history courses. They have excellent background information on the foundation of our country and the fathers of our country, the founders.
The Constitution.
Absolutely.
They'll be so ready to go to talk about the Constitution. You know, in public schools, they're not. If you ask the child about the Constitution or Declaration of Independence, you might get a little Wikipedia version, but you're going to get the full deal here, and you'll learn it the way it's actually supposed to be taught.
I think that there is no more precious resource right now than our children.
Amen.
And whatever we can do to nurture them, to bring up that next generation in the way that they should go according to God, it's really the only chance that this country has of ever waking up enough to have people come back to Him, repent and turn back to Him.
Amen. Well, ladies, we've laid out some choices for you. And obviously, we believe that a woman should be able to raise her children, to pour into them as best she can. And I hope these tips have really helped you if you're facing that decision. If you've got more tips, things that have worked for you, we'd love to have you share them in our Google Plus group if you can. Otherwise, you can just email us at connect@naomistable.com. All right, one of my favorite moms has put together together a wonderful Bible study in the book of Romans, and that's where we've been every day. And you don't have to have started from the beginning with us. You can just pick up any time, including 2 minutes from now. We'll be right back.
We equip women around the world to nurture others with the Word. Want to partner with Naomi's Table? Consider being a business partner. Details at naomistable.com. It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Well, welcome back, ladies, to our Bible study segment. This is where we open up the Word, and we are taught from the Word. And today we are back in the book of Romans, and our teacher, Beth Seifert, is standing by with today's lesson. Thank you so much, Beth.
Hey there, Amy. Well, yesterday we talked a little bit about some of what we're going to talk about today, about how we are enemies of God, and we are under His wrath when we are not covered by the blood of Christ. And today we're going to pick that theme back up in Romans chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Romans. We're going to be in chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by His life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Okay, look back up at the top verse. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were still weak. Literally, when we were helpless. I don't know about you, but I know that I'm still weak. Every day I see my unrighteousness and how much I need a Savior. While we didn't even know we needed to be rescued, at that point, when we were still ignorant of the gift being given to us, that was when Christ died for us. When we see in the news of someone who has sacrificed themselves for someone else, the person who sacrificed themselves is a hero, right? And the person who was saved, thanks to the hero, right? Well, there's an expectation placed on them now by society and by themselves that they need to deserve it, to do something with their life because someone else died to save that life. Often they will even say, I became a doctor for so-and-so, or because of their sacrifice. They do amazing things and give the credit to someone else. Yet in our case, Christ died for us when we didn't even realize we were in danger. We never even noticed the threat to our lives. We were completely unaware of the infection in our hearts. He died for us then. And it is only after the fact that we realize the magnitude of what He actually saved us from. At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. At exactly the right time. Not by our human standards, but by God's perfect standard. Christ died for us. At that time. It wasn't a coincidence that God chose to send His Son when He did. At a time when cameras weren't even a thought, much less everyone in the crowd having a camera on their phone to record Christ's miracles and His death and His resurrection. God knew when the perfect time was to send His Son, and that's what He did. The timing of Christ's death was the right time. His death notice wasn't for the righteous, the self-righteous, the good person. His death was for the ungodly, for us. And isn't it still true today that, given the choice between saving your own neck and saving someone else's life, we're still self-centered and still choose to save our own lives? And we were neither of those things. We weren't good. We weren't righteous. Yet Christ still chose to die for us. Even more than that, He died for His enemies. Remember from yesterday, without His blood covering us, we are enemies of God. He died for you, His enemy, so you can be reconciled to God. Because of his death, we are no longer his enemies, but we are his children. If that isn't cause for rejoicing, I don't know what is. We are justified, declared righteous before God, because of his blood poured out on the cross. Christ bore the full fury of God's wrath in the place of sinners who would believe and repent. There's no more wrath left for us. Christ bore it all. If, as we see, Christ was able to reconcile us to God through his sacrifice, taking on the full fury of God's wrath, how can we think that he's not able to keep us by his power? Think that one through a bit. We acknowledge that Christ is able to drink the cup the Father had for him, to pay the debt we couldn't pay for our sins, and yet, so often, we then back away and think the rest is up to us. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that. I've got the rest from here. No, it is still through his power that we are kept in his arms. Isn't that something to rejoice about? Knowing that he didn't rescue you from your sin to leave you to struggle through this life alone? It is through him that we are reconciled to God. And he doesn't leave us and walk away at that point and say, well, my work here is done. You guys have to take care of the rest now. Be good. Do you realize that when Christ died, there wasn't an expectation of deserve it placed on us because we never could deserve it? There isn't even an expectation of do something great, at least not by the world's standards. Do you know what is expected of you as you've been reconciled to God through Christ's death? Well, you're expected to give credit to him, to live your life to bring glory to him. That means that you need to know what he values, what he is all about, so that you can be used to bring him glory. And the rest of the expectation on you? To share the gift you've been given. Don't hoard it. Don't keep it to yourself. That doesn't honor his memory, to use the terms that we often use. That shows that you don't appreciate the gift you've been given because you don't want anyone else to have it. So, because of this, we can boast in God's work in our lives because we have been reconciled to him. We can boast that he loves us because he does. We can boast that he justifies us because he does. And we can boast because he reconciles us because he does. We boast in what he has done in us, not what we have done, not what we have deserved. It's all about him. This is not, as we will see further on, a blank check to sin, either. This isn't a matter of, well, if Christ died for me while I was helpless and his enemy, then he can't hold it against me if I continue in unrepentant sin. No. In doing that, you are smearing the name of Christ. In representing him to the world in that way, you are causing his name to be blasphemed, because you have no love for him, nor for the things he loves. Ladies, some of us are still living as enemies of God. We're still living lives that show we're ashamed of him. We don't talk about him because we don't want to offend anyone. We don't boast in how he has saved us from our ungodliness because we don't want to let anyone know we are ungodly, or we don't want to suggest that anyone else might be ungodly either. We have made him Lord of our Sunday mornings, not Lord of our lives. It looks different, ladies. To live for him looks different than just attending church, than just praying at mealtimes. To live for him is to do everything for him, to honor him in all that we do, to bring glory and praise to him, to share him, to live every breath with him guiding our hearts. Do you see evidence in your life of your fear of proclaiming his righteous sacrifice for your unrighteous life? Take it to him and ask for forgiveness, and start today. Start living for him. I'm not a doom and gloomer. I'm a very optimistic person most of the time. But I'm going to tell you, if you're not living for Christ today, when we're not facing persecution, you're going to have a really hard time living for him in the next 10 to 15 years as we see the persecution of Christians become commonplace even in our own country. Don't wait. Start now. Choose your side. And know His Word. The only way that you can know what God's will is for your life and what God wants from you is if you know Him. So read His story. Stand up and live the way He calls you to live. He will give you the strength and courage to do it. Remember, this life is but a breath. We have eternity to look forward to. If you're more concerned about your comfort in this life than you are about your eternity, you're making a choice that's going to have disastrous consequences. It's time to consider the choice that your actions show that you've made, and it's time to stand up.
Well, thank you so much, Beth. And remember, ladies, all of the notes and these 10-minute podcasts can be found at naomistable.com under the Bible Studies tab. We will take a break and be right back to talk more about today's lesson.
Naomi's Table is 100% listener-supported, serving women around the world thanks to our listeners' generous gifts. Go to our website, naomistable.com, and click on the support button. And thank you for equipping us to equip women. The food is ready. Now, back to Naomi's Table.
Welcome back, ladies. Well, it's time that we talk a little bit about what you just heard in the segment prior, and that was our Bible study. We are in lesson number 15 of our Book of Romans study with Beth Seifert, and today, Nancy, we looked at chapter 5, that 6 through 11, and I have to say, God's timing truly is perfect, isn't it?
It sure is. You know, I think the most intriguing thing about what she was talking about was when she was saying about how many who have been rescued by someone who died in the process have ended up devoting their lives to make a difference, trying to earn the sacrifice made to save them.
Yeah.
And I couldn't help but think of the movie Saving Private Ryan.
That
was the whole message of that, that, you know, in the end, he's sobbing over the sergeant's tombstone saying, I tried to make a difference and all this. But we can never do anything to earn Christ's sacrifice. There's nothing that we could pay to make up for it. Nothing we could do to make a difference or earn what He's given us. And the reason is that in a movie like Saving Private Ryan, the sergeant gave his life and all those men gave their lives to save the life of Private Ryan so he could return home to his family. But Christ did more than just save our lives. He saved our souls for all eternity. That's a huge difference than just saving someone's life.
Oh, it really is. And, you know, we talked about this in this study about why we would ever want to leave His arms to try to struggle alone after He saved us. Why would we ever want to go out? And I think, Nancy, it has to do with our feelings, and especially as women, you know this. We tend to place our truth and our trust in our own feelings and instincts and intuitions. So if we say to ourselves, I guess I can do this, I can do anything, as a feminist person might say, or, you know, I feel so alone, like, okay, Jesus saved me and now I'm on my own. He's kind of left me high and dry. All right, what does the Bible say about that? We tend to forget about what the Bible says, the promises that He will never leave us or forsake us.
Yeah. And, you know, I think we were talking about this the other day, that I think we desire to be in control so bad, so much, that we think we can do it on our own. You know, it's kind of like my husband and I always talked about when he first started walking with Christ, it was like he was a 911 God to him. So in other words, you know, it's like when he need him, call 911, God help. And then it was like, okay, God, thanks, I can take it from here. Well, that's not the way it's supposed to be. Yeah. And in reality, we are just fooling ourselves when we think we can take it from there, that we have to totally surrendered to Him.
Yeah.
We have to completely trust Him. And the thing I know I keep hammering home, ladies, and you're probably getting sick of me saying it, is we have to trust Him no matter what our circumstances.
Yeah.
Even the bad stuff that happens, God has a reason for it. And I know it's harsh when you have people at a funeral and the person has suffered a terrifying loss, a devastating loss, maybe of their spouse, maybe of their child. And as Christians, we often don't know what to say. So we quote, you know, Romans 8:28, which we're going to get to here probably pretty shortly. And it's true. It's uncompassionate at the moment.
Yeah, that's where wisdom comes in. We really have to be wise with our words. Yes, there's truth, and then there's wisdom to know when and how to share it in what circumstance. So we never want to water truth down. But if somebody has just gone through a devastating loss, and you come up very glibly, you know, and the tone matters too, and your intention and your heart, and you say, "Well, God works all things together for good," you know, and you say it like that, and that is true. Now, is that the place to say it like that in that moment? Probably not. But you know what? What a wonderful thing to do, to take that person later and say, you know, this Bible verse is really on my heart today. I don't want to share it with you. I'm not sure how this could apply, but, you know, and share that. And I know when Beth gets to 8:28, we are going to be in for a wonderful insight on that. I like where Beth asked the question about, you know, how we need to find out what God values. What does Jesus value so that we can be aligned with him and use that to bring him honor?
Yes, and we need to remember that we are supposed to bring glory to him and share the gift that we've been given. Yeah. I think that those two points, you know, otherwise, as soon as we receive his salvation, he'd take us off this earth and let us go up in paradise and just be there with him and have fun. No, he leaves us here for a reason, and that is so that we can be his witnesses, so that we can share his gospel, and by that bring him glory. You know, we need to understand too that we have been given grace to turn away from our sins and be free from them here. We're going to be totally free from the presence of sin one day in heaven, but we've actually been set free from the power of sin now through his grace. But how many of us actually cooperate with that and take advantage of that versus making excuses all the time for why I can be weak and still do the same things I used to do?
You know, Nancy, you just said something, though, about bringing God glory. And we were talking in our first segment about women who really want to make that choice to stay home with their kids, but they don't feel like they can afford it. One thing we didn't talk about was bringing God glory. And I think a lot of women think, well, if I'm not doing, you know, this ministry or that career, you know, how am I really bringing glory to the kingdom if I'm not, you know, doing X, Y, Z and I'm just staying at home changing diapers? Ladies, when you are caring for your child, when you're bringing a neighbor some soup who's just lost a loved one, that's bringing him glory. And it's in those little things with that intention of stepping outside of yourself, making those self-sacrifices, putting down your remote control and pouring your life into somebody else, laying your life that you think you need to have down for a friend or a child or a spouse. That's when you're bringing God the glory.
And understand, he can use you wherever you are.
Yep.
So if you are in corporate world and you're working, your desk is actually a pulpit, you know, where you can minister to people from there. You can share the gospel from there. Yep. And I understand some companies have specific rules against proselytizing to your fellow employees, or even saying Merry Christmas if you work in a store. You know, you have to have grace really with those employees that we're going to be running into in the stores if we do Christmas shopping, who are not allowed to say Merry Christmas to us.
Yeah.
But that doesn't stop us from saying Merry Christmas back to them.
Well, and we shouldn't demand a trite saying like Merry Christmas from everybody we meet either. So we'll be talking about that in a few weeks. I can't believe that's a few weeks away.
It's coming fast.
Wow.
Yep.
All right, that opens up a whole new list of topics we could probably cover, and we will. But ladies, for right now, we're going to leave this here and get ready to wrap up the program. Nancy is flipping through her Bible. I think I know where she's going to go, but we'll find out when we come back.
We equip women around the world to nurture others with the Word. Want to partner with Naomi's Table? Consider being a business partner. details at naomistable.com. No junk food served here. Now, back to Naomi's Table.
Welcome back, ladies. We are getting ready to wrap up the program, and Nancy's got her Bible open. We always like to leave you with some scripture verses read a little bit longer, give you more of a context for what's being said. Nancy, what scripture did you pick out today?
Well, let's read about the woman in Proverbs 31, starting at verse 10. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates.
Well, wow, there's so much in there, ladies, and we hope that you reflect on that, meditate on God's word, as it says to do in the Bible, and think about that Proverbs 31 woman. She wanted what was best for everyone else besides herself, and that truly is what we need to do to be wholly pleasing to our God Most High. All right, we're going to leave it here, but we will be back for another day of Naomi's Table. Invite your friends along, and until then, have a blessed day in the Lord.
Thank you for joining us today at Naomi's Table. We encourage you to head over to naomistable.com for resources, articles, Bible study guides, and much more. Until next time, be equipped and encouraged in God's Word.